Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. Welcome. I'm happy to have you with me today. Today we're going to talk about going from death into life. We're in the season of Easter, or resurrection if you prefer. And we're going to look at 1 Peter 1, 17 to 23. So we'll begin with a little prayer, talk about our topic today, read some scripture. We'll do communion together at the end if you want to pause for a moment to get something for that. And then we will close with a benediction. So we're all happy to have you with. Let's get started with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can be together today. Thank you for giving us your word for today. We pray, Heavenly Spirit, that you will enable us to hear, to respond in the way you would have us respond, and let Christ's life just blossom and grow in us and through us. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, there is a question we've been looking at lately, and that is, where is our focus, right? And all you have to do is to look at the news or look at what's going on in the world around you. And there is a ton of stuff going on that is just very negative news. In fact, it was just the other day I kind of glanced at the news feed and on my computer, and every story was about either a mass shooting, a possible world conflict, you know, natural resources being destroyed. I mean, it was like death in every facet of our human existence. And I really didn't see a whole lot of stories about what I do see every day, and that is people living their lives and actually doing good to one another. And it happens all the time, but we don't see that on our news because that's, you know, not where the focus is right now. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is a multiplication of death. And that's the evil one likes to do that. He likes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's done a really good job of that right now. And the thing is we can look at these stories. We can listen to them. We can watch what's going on. Knowing death occurred is one thing, but going through it ourselves is something entirely different. We go through all of the process of grieving loss, because some of us have been through that experience, catastrophic loss in our lives that's affected us. And we have to go through, you know, that sense of denial or that sense of bargaining with God, or just anger, just so mad. And even being mad at God because he let death happen. And that's just part of our human processing of death, because we were created for death. We never were intended to have to deal with death. But here we're in a world where death exists because we chose to go our own way. And really, if we're honest with ourselves, it's easier to point the finger at everyone else or to find blame somewhere or do all those things and have to, that's a whole lot easier than having to be honest and humble enough to say, I'm resentful, I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm full of hate, I'm vengeful, and admitting the truth of our own need for grace. And we need to come to terms with, and this is what we do as we go through this season of preparation for Easter, and then Easter season, where we're dealing with the reality that we need Christ's death. We need him to take all that we put on him. He took all that and he took it into the grave and he buried it once for all in his death. And then he took us to a new place in his resurrection. He doesn't want us to stay in the place of self-condemnation, guilt, shame, whatever. That's not where we belong. And if you're stuck in that place, then I have to ask you, what about the resurrection? What about the fact that Jesus died? Here is the creator of everything. Everything was created in and through the Word, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Everything was created in and through him, and he took it through death into resurrection. That means we have new life. We don't have to sit in the place of self-condemnation or guilt or shame. That's not where we belong. We belong in new life, in resurrection. So, one of the people we're going to be looking at today is Peter. You know a little bit about the story of Peter, but after all that Peter went through, even betraying Jesus there at the end, not betraying him, but denying him there at the end, he found grace and forgiveness in Jesus. And Jesus says to him, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, and so on. So we see on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up and he tells the people, this is what you did. This is what you did. You killed the one who came to save you. You killed the Messiah. And they were cut to the heart. They saw their need for grace. Just like we need to see our need for grace ourselves. And then we need to have asked the question they asked, what should we do? What do we need to do? And we're called to turn around to get back into relationship with the Father through Jesus and the Spirit. Jesus turned us around and turned us toward the Father. And so he wants us to go there and stay there, to turn around. He's taken our face and he's turned us around. So that's why we turn to Jesus. We trust him. And we demonstrate our repentance in the receiving of God's grace and his Spirit through baptism, which there, baptism, the receiving of God's Spirit. We receive God's Spirit, his presence coming to live and dwell in us and to unite us with Father and Son and the Spirit. So going on from there, Peter, the Apostle Peter, in his epistle, that's the passage you want to look at today. And this is what he says in 1 Peter 1, 17 to 23. He says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. And fear there, he's not talking about being afraid. What he's talking about is awe and respect. So awe and respect toward God. So if he addresses Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during your time of stay on earth, knowing this, knowing what? You are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with what? With precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So we see that we're saved. Isn't that amazing? By this precious blood of Jesus Christ. He was sinless, and yet his blood was shed by human beings, by us. So it says, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. So God knew this is what would happen. He knew that even before he created us that this would happen. So God's goal was always to make us one with himself. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And so we put our faith and hope in God. We turn from ourselves. We turn to Jesus. We put our faith and hope in God, not in ourselves anymore, not in the things of this world anymore, not in any of that stuff. We turn to God. Peter goes on to say, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Do you understand that your born-againness isn't because you made the right decision? It's because Jesus took you and me through death into resurrection. He is our born-againness. He was made new. He took our human flesh through death into resurrection. Made our human flesh new. Our born againness is in Christ. And so we get to participate in it, is what we get to do. And so because of God's love for us, that is so profound. And because we agree that, yes, you know what? I need that. That's something that I really need. And we turn away from ourselves. We turn to Christ. That love that God has shown for us, then he, by his Spirit, gets shed abroad in our hearts. We begin to love with that genuine, fervent, sincere, pure, holy love for others. From the heart, we love others. Where does that come from? It's not something we kind of come up with ourselves. God's love poured in our hearts by the Spirit because of what Jesus did, because of what he is doing right now by his Spirit, because of what he's going to do when he returns in glory and transforms us. There's something where we have to turn away from our reliance upon ourselves to get everything just the way it needs to be. And that's really tough to do. So Peter is just really focused on this whole thing of our redemption and how we needed it and how wonderful it was. But the cost of it was Jesus in his crucifixion, his shedding of his blood, his body being broken. That was the cost of this redemption, and us having new life came about at quite a high cost. It cost the Creator of all things everything. It cost the Father laying, offering the life of his Son. Jesus offered his life and was willing to do whatever it took. God, as John says, God so loved the world, he gave his one unique Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to say that they could be saved by him. Salvation through Christ, God's gift, at a pretty hefty cost. And because of that great love of God, we love others. We love one another. We love fervently with sincerity and purity of heart. And Jesus says, you know, follow me, right? But what is he saying? If you're going to follow me, you have to lay down your life, pick up your cross, whatever that is, and follow me. And so that means every one of us has a death and resurrection we go through. And sometimes this is a daily thing. What is it today that God is asking you to lay down? What is he asking you to pick up and go with? And how is it he is wanting you to follow him? And see, that's the thing. Life begins not about us and how we want things to be, how we think life should go, how we think the world should look like. Is that we may think that's the way it should be, but that's actually a very self-centered existence, and it ends in death. Spiritual death, physical death, emotional death, mental death. It's the process of, it's very self-destructive. God never meant for us to be the center who decides everything. We are always, never will be created, meant to live in relationship with the Creator who loves and adores us and has made us his very own children, his adopted children. And he wants us to share life with him so that our daily life becomes a conversation. Our daily life becomes something we do together with him. So the things he created us for that just flow out of us, the things we enjoy, what is it that God has created you to do? Are you an artist? Are you a businessman? Are you an accountant? Are you fabulous with money? How has he created you, and how do you do that with him, for him, in him? How do you do that as part of his world and what he's trying to do in the world? It gives you a whole different perspective on how you live life. But it involves this whole thing of death and resurrection, where we lay down our life, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. It's life in the spirit. Paul says in Romans 8, that if we walk in the spirit, we won't walk in the flesh. So all that stuff that died, we won't go there if we're walking in the spirit. That means life in relationship with Jesus. We're listening to the spirit. We're walking in the spirit. We're in conversation with God, all of life. So in Christ, we find that there's death to everything that went before. There's new life in Christ. We're not known any longer by what we were. I mean, we don't know Christ according to the old flesh anymore. We know him by the resurrected Lord he is now. And we know ourselves as resurrected in him. We have new life in him. And so that's actually great. Whether we like it or not, we live in a world where death just seems to be in control. So what do? We participate in God, what he wants to do in this world. One thing we do is we pray. Now, a lot of times we pray about problems, which is good. We pray about the sick. We pray for those who are lonely. We pray for those who, but it would be good if we prayed for those who cause pain and suffering for others. It would be good if we prayed for our leaders, that they would be wise and good servants of the people instead of greedy and selfish. We want to pray for the bullies, and there are bullies at all level of life. Doesn't matter. There's always a bully. So pray for them, because a lot of times they're the ones who just desperately are hungry for the Lord. Pray for those who are held captive by addictions, held captive by a mental illness, held captive by unhealthy relationships. There's a lot of people held captive. There are those who enslave people. There are those who are enslaved. What are you enslaved to? What are they enslaved to? Maybe they just need someone to begin to intercede for them. Pray for those who use others. Pray for those who destroy others. Pray for those who create war and destruction. Pray for those in need. And I'm not saying pray God destroy them. I'm saying pray God that they would awaken to the reality that Christ died for them. They have new life too. Everyone has this gift. Pray. Where that's one of the ways in which we participate, and we have other ways we participate in what God's doing in this world. Because what is God doing? The kingdom of God. Remember the prayer Jesus gave us? Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be his name, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We can pray that. But we can also participate in what Jesus Christ is doing right now to make that kingdom begin to become evident in this world right now. How is the Holy Spirit actively trying to bring the kingdom of God to earth right now? We can be a part of that right now in bringing life in the midst of death. See, all death has been swept up into Jesus' death and brought in through into resurrection, and the Spirit's beginning to move and here on earth. The stone's been moved. Jesus is risen. God's Spirit is present and active. And so we pray and we serve and we do our part in participating in what God's trying to do to bring his kingdom into reality here on earth as it is in heaven. And it really puts everything in a different perspective. We don't go through life just seeking some empty or self-centered objective. There's something so much bigger going on. We're in the midst of a huge story, and we have a part to play. And God's doing something amazing in this world. And if we're not paying attention, we can miss the entire thing. Miss out on participating in the kingdom of God here on earth. So as we end today, I would like us to take a moment for communion, and it's a good opportunity for us to be reminded as we affirm the essentials of our faith. We died with Christ, we rose with Christ, we share in his glory both now and forever. Remember that God's Spirit is at work right now in you, with you, in us, with us, for us, and drawing us deeper into union and communion with Father and Son. And so let me pray, and then we'll take the bread and the wine or grape juice together. Father, thank you for making us one, for drawing us together. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for forgiving us. We receive that grace. We so desperately need it. Lord, may your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And may, as we take these elements, may we find renewal, restoration in you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. The body of Christ, we give thanks, Jesus, for offering your body. Thank you. And we offer the cup. We thank you, Jesus, for pouring your blood out for us. So now may our Heavenly Father, who through the precious blood of the Lamb has redeemed you and caused you to be born anew through his enduring word, fill your hearts with love by his Spirit, that you may fervently love one another with a pure heart. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I hope to see you here again on Our Life in the Trinity. Stop by our blog site, lifeinthetrinity.blog. And also we have our Life in the Trinity studies site. You're interested in maybe doing a little study. So God bless you.